Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Tejas Networks Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Mishra from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us at Tejas Networks Limited Q4 FY25 results conference call. We have Tejas Networks management on call, represented by Mr. Anand Athreya, CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Arnob Roy, CEO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Sumit Dhingra, CFO, and Dr. Kumar N. Sivarajan, CTO. I would like to invite Mr. Anand Athreya to initiate with opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Mohit. Good evening, everyone. So thanks for joining the Q4 FY25 earnings call. I'm here with Arnob, Kumar, and Sumit in this room. So I would like to give you a very key update. The first one is, as of yesterday, your company completed 25 years. It was incorporated on April 24th, 2000. So I have the founders here, Kumar, Arnob Roy, and Sanjay Nayak, who was our previous CEO. I want to thank them and congratulate them on this fantastic milestone. Thank you, guys. So one key important update I would like to give you is that we shipped 100,000 sites on the BSNL 4G project. That's something that we were on for the last one and a half to 2 years. So that milestone, it's a great milestone that we have accomplished as of last quarter. In terms of revenue, Q4, we landed up at 1,907 crores. It was a 1.4x year-over-year. And for the financial year FY25, we hit 8,923 crores, which is more than $1 billion, and it's 3.6x year-over-year. In terms of profit after tax, we were negative 72 crores. And then the FY25 profit after tax, we ended up at 447 crores. The order book at the end of Q4 is 1,019 crores. And some of the key business highlights is, as I just said, started. We shipped close to more than 100,000 sites for the BSNL 4G, 5G network. This is one of the largest single vendor RAN network in the world ever delivered in record time. So I think I'm very proud of the team and also the consortium of TCS, CDOT, and also our customer BSNL for actually helping us make this happen. We also signed a very strategic technology collaboration agreement with NEC Corporation Japan. And this is for the development of advanced wireless technologies, RAN technologies, and also the core and EPC, and also a joint go-to-market, right? So as two companies, we can take it to our customers. We also had several key wins for our leading-edge optical platforms, both on the PTN and FTTx, mobile backhaul, and also for broadband services and power utility networks. And we also are expanding our sales footprint in Americas and EMEA and ANZ, right? In terms of corporate update, on the occasion of 25 years completion of registering Tejas Networks, we are considering the performance of the company in the last fiscal year. The board has recommended a dividend of 25%, which turns out to be INR 2.5 per share, subject to the approval of the shareholders. We also received around 123 crores for FY24 and the first tranche of 189 crores as PLI incentives. And we also won the Best Mobile Technology Breakthrough Award from ET Telecom recently. From a summary point of view, I'm really proud of what Tejas accomplished. In fact, this is the largest revenue that we've had in 25 years, and it's a very milestone, a big number. So I want to thank our shareholders, our investors, and also our employees and our customers for helping us achieve this fantastic milestone. Yeah, I'll hand it over to Sumit, who will go through the financials and other details. Thank you.
Thanks, Anand. Good evening, everyone. For the financial year FY25, we had revenues of 8,923 crores, EBIT of 905 crores, profit before tax of 698 crores, and PAT of 447 crores. Looking at the fourth quarter, the revenues were 1,900 crores, which is 1.4x year-on-year. EBIT for the quarter was 18 crores and PBT of negative 45 crores. The profitability for the quarter and to that extent the full year is partly impacted because of the provisions for inventory obsolescence and write-down of about 117 crores that we did in this quarter, Q4. The number for the full year was 181 crores. We also wrote off certain expenses related to intangible assets under development during the quarter. So that sort of has suppressed the profitability for the quarter. Moving to the key financial indicators, inventory at the end of the quarter stood at 2,367 crores. This will get converted to finished goods and get shipped over the next few quarters. Trade receivables at the end of quarter four stood at 4,884 crores, and the increase is mainly because we've had higher shipments, particularly on the BSNL 4G project during the quarter. We collected about 1,900 crores during the quarter, and we expect to make further collections over these receivables over the next few quarters as the milestones get completed. Cash position at the end of the quarter was 827 crores and a borrowings of 3,269 crores, implying a net debt of about 2,300 crores. I'll hand it over to Arnab to take over the business update.
Thanks, Sumit. Just wanted to give a little bit of color to the business of FY25 and the upcoming year. So for financial year 25, the revenue mix was India government was 3% of our revenue, which is a year-over-year decline of 66%. And that's primarily because, as we are all aware, the India government business is very tender-driven, and depending on the timeline of the tender and timeline of the execution of the tender, the revenues depend on the particular time and the quarter and financial year in which they get executed, and that's the reason why it's very lumpy, that part of the business. India private grew significantly and was a dominant share, and of course, as you mentioned, that our BSNL 4G shipments through TCS is we consider as part of the India private business. But apart from that, I think we saw a good amount of growth of our wireline business in the India private segment among the private mobile operators. International, we had a year-over-year increase of 18%. In the overall scheme of things, it's still a small number. It was like 3% of our overall business. And it was driven mainly through key shipments to the U.S., Africa, South Asia, both our existing customers and a few new strategic logos as well. We closed the year with a backlog of 1,000 crores, 1,019 crores, where 900 plus of that was from India and 100 crore plus from the international. Moving on to FY26, as you can make out, FY25 was a milestone year for us in terms of our revenues and driven by the large BSNL 4G project. So obviously FY26 will be different in terms of revenue profile and so on. And our business of FY26 has to be seen in the perspective of the revenues of the previous years, right, from FY24 and so on. So the good thing is that our portfolio got expanded significantly in FY25 and increased our addressable market. We had, during the year, we invested significantly in R&D and sales to support the development and execute on the roadmap for our products, especially in wireless. The good news is that it has got expanded significantly, the portfolio. So we support 5G over multiple bands, and that gives us a really good opportunity to upgrade 4G networks, not only in India, but worldwide. We enhanced our portfolio with advanced 5G massive MIMO radios. So we have now a portfolio of not only our own 5G radios, but also the ones with the partnership with NEC, and also leveraging their some of their advanced beamforming technology and all those kind of things to support more sophisticated and advanced features in our radios as well. We also acquired a field-proven 4G 5G core, and that was part of the NEC partnership. And a lot of future development in the core is going to happen on with a baseline of this core software, which has seen a lot of international deployments. We also expanded our IP-based router family. We deployed a very large network in the BSNL network for the 4G 5G backhaul, and over the year, we completed the commissioning of that network, which is carrying a significant amount of their mobile traffic as well as their broadband services are carried over this network. We also added to the family by additional set of products, both in the modular as well as the fixed platforms. We enhanced our optical portfolio from 400 gig to release 800 gig and 1.2 terabit per channel DWDM systems. This is kind of absolute state of the art in terms of what's available across the world. And with this, it puts us in the league of the leaders in the optical networking products and companies. We also enhanced our FTTX portfolio with XGS PON, or basically the 10 gig PON products, and shipped a few initial customer orders. So with this, we'll see a lot more traction coming for our 10 gig GPON products internationally. Apart from that, I think the markets for our product segments, all the product segments, as you know, we have a wireless product segment with the RAN and core. And for the wireline segment, we have the routing switching, we have the FTTX, the broadband, the fixed line services, and the optical, the packet optical, and the WDM transmission. They are the three product lines in wireline, and all of those product segments are projected to grow globally, not only in India but also in the international market. That gives us great opportunity, especially with the expansion and the maturing of our existing portfolio. The domestic opportunity pipeline that we have includes large projects in the government sector, which we have discussed before. Many of them are in a very advanced stage of negotiations and so on, and hope to continue for the next one or two quarters. We have had several new customers and new application wins in both private and government sectors, many of which we announced during the year. And we have deployed, executed these projects very successfully, and they are six trends of business we expect to expand in FY26. We had a significant event in terms of the partnership with NEC, which has not only gives us access to advanced technologies, but also access to global customers, and which are NEC's customers and also their prospective customers, which helps us in joint go-to-market opportunities with NEC. So with this, we expect our international wireless business to get a significant boost with this partnership. We also invested in expanding our global sales footprint. So we set up more offices in Southeast Asia, in ANZ, and expanded our sales operations in Americas. We had also, on the back of a few strategic wins in those markets, we think that it will give us a strong momentum for increasing our international business in FY26. So that concludes our presentation. of the results of Q4 and the outlook for FY26. And we'd like to open up the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Firstly, a question for Sumit sir. Sumit sir, on this inventory obsolescence and various other write-downs of intangibles, which is amounting to roughly 140 crores, is there any spillover expected in FY26?
I think evaluation of inventory for obsolescence, write-down, etc., or even charging off certain expenses, it's an ongoing evaluation that the company does every quarter whenever we go for our results. So that in various shapes and forms, it keeps on getting evaluated. I think as we completed this project and we were coming towards the end of this year, this initiative was taken and we took these obsolescence and write-downs and provisions. It's an ongoing exercise, so there'll always be certain provisions that we'd continue to make. But this is also a sort of one-time significant effort that we had put in.
So basically, what you mean is the provisions will happen, but the magnitude may not be as large as this one.
Yes, it's evaluation. This is an ongoing exercise. Always, on a quarterly basis, any organization would do.
I'd like to add that given the nature of our business, that we are a product company, we have to continuously invest in newer and many different innovations and also products in anticipation of technology changes or building in newer innovations in our products. And all of them don't often realize fruition, right? So from that point of view, I think this is expected that some amount of our efforts that we put in or the investment that we put in that may sometimes be needed to be written off for inventory which is out there which is not sellable. So it is the nature of our business given as the outcome of the nature of our business given the kind of the product company that we are. And as Sumit said, we do this determination at the end of every quarter and every year to see what kind of write-off the provisions we need to do.
Sir, is there a chance that this particular quarter, because we finished a large contract, a mega-sized contract, is there a chance that this particular quarter the expenses would have been particularly higher? Because I would have imagined that this kind of a provision would have been scattered over four quarters or maybe more. Or over the year rather, which has happened in one single quarter almost. So how should we look at this? I mean, 140 crore, of course, it will depend on how much is expensed out or what is the kind of revenue we build for FY26. But my point is that if we continue to have such large provisions going forward, it is going to hamper our profitability when we are entering FY26 at a significantly lower revenue base.
I think typically at the end of the year, always this exercise is undertaken, and given that this is one of the large provisions or write-offs that we've taken, wouldn't expect such large numbers going forward. I think progressively as we continue, normal provisions will continue to happen. So to some extent, I can say that this is This is a one-time initiative.
Fair enough, Sumit sir. So the next question is on I need a bit on four specific contracts that we've consistently spoken about in our previous calls. One is on the follow-up contract from BSNL for 4G and 5G. The second one is on the VIL order win that we had last quarter. The third one is on Rail Kavach. And the fourth one is on BharatNet. If you can briefly touch upon each of these, where are we in terms of either tender or execution?
Yeah. So for the add-on on BSNL, I think we're in advanced discussions on this thing, and we expect, as you can see, that you know this time these things often take time and beyond what you can plan for. But we can say that these are in a advanced stage of discussions and. Will hopefully close in this quarter, right? We expect it to close by this quarter. Regarding VIL, we won that last year. We did our shipments in phase one and you know, successfully executed the project. We've got you know, add-on business as well, and that business is expanding, and we hope to expand that business going forward in FY26 as well as their networks expand. Rail Kavach, I think the tender is getting delayed. We've completed our POC successfully, but I think you know, they are taking more time to for issuance of the tender and for finalizing the specifications. BharatNet, as you know, the in most of the circles, the SIs have been assigned the tender. Many of them have the POs, and you know, their ongoing discussions with the system integrators on the particulars of the products and the quantities that will be shipped. They're also in the part of that OEM selection and also finalizing the quantities. So we are again at a very advanced stage of discussions with them, and this is also something that we hope to close in.
Fair enough. Arnab sir, in your commentary, in your notes, you mentioned that FY26 will have a different kind of a revenue structure, which is understandable coming from this kind of a base. However, for FY24, we had closed the year at a revenue growth of close to 2500 crores with an order book of 1000 crores. How do we expect to sort of beat 2500 crores in FY26?
Well, as you know, we don't give revenue guidance, right? But, you know, if you look at our opening backlog and the business pipeline that is in front of us, and I want to give you a flavor of that, both in terms of the large projects as well as, the run rate projects from the private sector. If you look at all of that, I think there is a significant, there is a very good opportunity of having a pretty significant business in FY26 as well, and there is a good amount of business pipeline built out there, and especially with our expanded set of products, I think we're looking at FY26 very positively.
And sir, just one clarification on what you mentioned here. Some of the orders that you got or are expected to execute for the newer products, will it be fair to say that this will be a bit more short cycle in nature as compared to what we've done for BSNL? So some of the order intake which will come within FY26 will get executed within FY26, and which is why the order book for Q4 may not give you a correct picture of what is to come in FY26. There could be a positive surprise.
Let me put it this way, without getting into any specific guidelines. I think most of the opportunities that I talked about, we do expect them to close and get a large part of them getting executed in FY26. Of course, you know, the larger orders will, there will be some overflow onto FY27 also, but a significant part of
those opportunities we expect to get completed in FY26.
Fair enough, sir. Just one last data point, if you can help me with the number of employees that we closed in FY25.
So
and the capital employee cost, which is capitalized this year.
Roughly at around 2380 employees at the end of the year.
And sorry, what was the other question?
Your employee cost that is capitalized this year.
Employee cost,
last year it was somewhere near 250 odd crores.
Yeah, so about 289 crores of cost was capitalized.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akash Mehta from Canara HSBC Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is, in continuation to the previous participant. So just wanted to understand in terms of the order book, which is at about 1,019 crores, we are expecting. So what kind of addition we are expecting from the major projects that are there in terms of Rail Kavach, the Vodafone Idea one, additional BSNL and BharatNet and other projects that we could see over the next, getting executed probably over the next couple of years. If you could just help with that.
Yeah, I think we don't share specific numbers with respect to each and every deal, and many of them are yet to materialize. They're very close, and so since we don't give specific numbers associated with deals, it's very hard to say what is FY26 is going to look like and what is the numbers that we are expecting from them. But I think the sizes of those projects and the opportunities are, you can probably make some good estimate about those. And we look forward to, successful FY26, but not comparing it with FY25.
So, but any broad, if you could just help us with any broad opportunity size from that perspective, or that would be kind of helpful. I mean, not guidance in terms of revenue, but what you are internally targeting in terms of these projects.
I don't have any specific numbers to share with any of them. I mean, each of those large opportunities of BharatNet and the BSNL add-on and all those kind of things are, they are like several hundred crores and, upwards of some of them upwards of 1,000 crores also. But beyond that, I don't have any specific number to share for each of them. But these are large, right?
Understood, sir. Fair enough. And second is on you mentioning that there are certain large projects in government sector that could come through in the next couple of quarters. So can you help us in terms of what kind of projects this could be like?
Yeah, so those are the ones that I think Vimal was referring to, the add-on BSNL, the Rail Kavach, BharatNet, and so on, the both the central and the state BharatNet. So each of these are very large. Some of them are several hundred crores, some of them are several thousand crores as well. So those are the large projects where we are hoping to bring a significant share of.
Okay, thank you. That's it, Sumakal.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a slightly longer term question. From last couple of years, we have expanded capability, product basket, and the geography, and we have built teams in different markets also. And you said in the F26 outlook, our addressable market is expanding. So if we take a 3 to 5 year view on the business, the size of opportunity, can you quantify the size of opportunity which we are target to capture or participate in? Secondly, in terms of performance evaluation internally of
delivery of against our budget, what are the key metrics you look at internally to judge the performance benchmark? So can you share details around these two things? Thank you.
Well, outlook over the next few years are good because overall, in all the product segments that we are that we operate in, they are all expected to grow significantly, anywhere between 3-4% to going up to 6-7% globally. And India, the investments are also growing substantially. India is one of the fastest growing market. So from an environment point of view and our products and the relevance of our product point of view, I think we are in a very good position right now. We have, especially in India, we have incumbency in many of the customer accounts. Our key investment and the key challenge is really growing our international business as well. And it's mainly a question of execution of successful business in a growing market for us. So I think the market growth and opportunity is not a challenge. It's like it's a question of being able to execute successfully, especially with the newer products and the upgraded portfolio that we have. So the second part of the question was regarding KPIs. I think it's very simple. The KPIs are, again, just the financial numbers in terms of revenues, margins, profits, cash flow. So I think all of this has to work out to the numbers and the financial performance of the company. So those are the key parameters that we monitor and we evaluate ourselves on.
Sir, the NEC, the tie-up which we have, so as per the some credit rating notes, we have to pay certain royalty yearly basis. So can you quantify the amount? And secondly, from this tie-up, what is the size of opportunity we can envisage for Tejas Network? And corresponding this question is, when you say we have increased the size of opportunity from this different aspect, but in terms of competitive landscape for participating that opportunity, can you talk about the competition level in terms of cost structures, in terms of where we are losing the bits? Can you name few competitors also in this space where we are competing one-on-one?
Yeah, so as Anand mentioned, the NEC agreement is for development of advanced wireless RAN and core technologies, and as part of that, also to licensing their products and for joint go to market. So with this, gives us a lot of access to NEC's existing customers worldwide who are deploying the products, as well as some of the newer opportunities that they're looking at globally, right? So this gives us a significant boost to our joint branding and joint go-to-market with their existing as well as the newer customers in the international market. So that's the big value coming out of that. Quantifying the number is not possible right now. I mean, we don't share that, but we are looking at, of course, significant revenues. And most importantly, these are going to be international business. That's something that we are very keen to really grow, and it's very important for our business to increase our footprint globally. And this gives this initiative a significant boost. Second part is competitive landscape. The investment, one of the reasons that we invested significantly last financial year and continue to support that is for accelerating our product roadmap. I think right now, over the last 12 months, all the different initiatives that I talked about, all the product portfolio expansion that I talked about, has now got us into a very good competitive space with the leading edge product manufacturers across the world, and they are the people that everybody is familiar with, you know, in wireless, they are the Nokias, Ericssons, and so on. For optical, it's like Ciena, Nokia, and so on, and routing switching for the service providers, Nokias and Ciscos and so on. So those are all of them are global competitors against whom we compete not only in India, but also in international markets. And with all the investment that have made, all the development that has happened, we find ourselves in a very good competitive position with respect to them.
Thank you very much, sir, for answering all my questions. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Advait Lat from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, Advait.
Yeah, so sir, just congrats on a great year, and just wanted to ask, what is the tariff-related news flow, or what is the impact of that on us, and how are we looking at that risk in the long or medium term?
Yeah, so the full impact of the tariffs and how where it lands finally is yet to be determined. As you know, there are discussions that are going on between the different countries. But the way we see it is that we see it with respect to our competitive landscape. You know, most of our competitors also manufacture outside of the U.S., right? I mean, in different geographies, including Asia and various countries in Asia. So I think whatever the tariff impact on India is, they're going to have the same tariff impact as well. So I think from that point of view, it's going to be neutral, right? Because I think they're also going to get affected by that. I think the part that could potentially impact is that if there is a negative sentiment in terms of business, global business, and the investments from our customers go down based on the negative sentiment, if there's a conservative approach that happens in terms of the investment in the network, I think that secondary impact is probably could be a larger risk than the exact the tariff by itself.
Right. So, and just a follow-on question on the PLI schemes. When do you think we are eligible till which year? PLI scheme benefit?
Till FY27.
And after that will cease to exist, right? Exist, right?
Yes, that's right. Current scheme is for 5 years.
Yeah.
So which will end in FY27.
Sure. Thank you for that.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Suhadi from FedEx Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to understand in terms of the write-off, you know, if I see over the last, since FY22, you know, that's our inventory levels were around, you know, 200 crores. And then since then, because of the BSNL contract, you know, we significantly expanded. We are also added because there were some component shortages. So the write-off, what kind of, you know, equipment does it pertain to? Because it seems to be very significant, you know, in proportion to the FY22 base. And also in terms of intangibles, can we talk about, you know, what kind of projects these related to? That's my first question. Also, on the Bharat contract, we've seen a lot of announcements from system integrators, you know, from other companies in the value chain, fiber optic companies. So, you know, and there, as per market, and we've made an announcement for Tamil Nadu for us as well. So, you know, are there any other companies on the electronic equipment side that we are competing with? And, you know, what's holding back, you know, an announcement coming from Tejas on you know, the scope and involvement in the BharatNet project? So just, you know, in terms of how much of the market share, you know, in the project is, you know, whatever the estimate be on the total magnitude of the project, but what is the market share that we are targeting for this contract?
Well, specific to BharatNet, as I said, the announcements have come from the system integrators mainly who have won the deal, and those projects are a combination of a lot of services, a lot of supply and deployment of fiber and all those kind of things. And then a significant portion is also about the equipment, right? So this is where I think the system integrators are working with the OEMs, with the equipment provider in finalizing them, and as well as all the OEMs, including us, are going through all the testing and certification process, which are part of without which you cannot be deployed in the network. So all that is happening in parallel, you know, the discussions and negotiations with system integrators, as well as testing and certification of our products. So I think they will, as I said, they will probably close in Q1, and whether we announce that or not, or announce, you know, it will depend at that point of time whether there's significant enough in terms of announcements and all this kind of thing. But since this is a deal between private entities kind of thing, we'll need to see what can be announced or cannot be announced. However, their announcements is because it's like a public tender, and that's what has got announced over there. Regarding your first part of the question, regarding inventory and write-offs, as I said, that's the nature of our business, that we have to do a lot of experimental development, lot of trying out new ideas, new inventions, and all this kind of thing. And some of them may not lead to fruition, may not lead to products getting released kind of thing. So there is always some amount of, and since we develop a significant amount of hardware as part of our products, there will be some amount of inventory which goes stale or which becomes unusable in terms of business because of products that we couldn't take to production and so on. And similarly with projects as well. So this is the nature of the business, right? If you are in a very direct services kind of business where we are only executing customer contracts and business was based on that, then there is a very direct connection to the business as well as the customer business and the investments in the company. But for us, it's more of we are a deep tech company. There's a lot of investment that goes on to innovation, and some of them, many of them are successful, some of them are not successful, and that's the nature of the game. And this happens. I mean, I think this quarter it has been a large one, and as Sumit said, that always we don't expect it to happen to the tune of these amounts, but this is the nature of the business. This is nothing unusual. I think the number is maybe a little more higher this
Is it fair to say that on the inventory side also, there was some tie-in with the experimental products that we were doing, and for that reason there was an inventory write-off? I mean, I'm just trying to understand how old this inventory is on our books. I mean, because most of the build-up has happened over the last 2 years in inventory.
No, I think the development is ongoing, right? That never stops. It's not always connected to a particular business kind of thing. As you can see, while we were executing the BSNL 4G, the network, a huge amount of investment kept happening in 5G as well, right? In terms of looking forward for business. So some amount of inventory is connected to that, right? I mean, maybe one particular approach you've tried multiple design and finalized on one of them, the one which gives the best performance and, kind of a thing, right? So those are experimental stuff that comes into the picture. Some of it is maybe inventory built over, to some customer, to some business forecast, and which may not have got consumed or kind of thing, right? And or got end of life kind of thing. So it's like a combination of these. As long as you're in the hardware business, there is, those kind of events do happen, especially in the hardware product business. Those kind of events do happen, and as I said, they will happen, but maybe always not to the tune that you've seen right now. And same to do with the project right now. There will be experimental projects which may not reach commercial success, and we write them off. But and this has been a one-off large number this year.
Yes, sir. And just on my other question, what I was trying to understand, are we competing with international vendors as well in the BharatNet contract? And how, if you could give us, any light on the number and the size of these other OEMs. I mean, how what kind of pedigree of OEMs are we competing against? Just to understand what is our right to win in the BSNL contract.
Yeah, I think you have to realize that any business that we do, any customer that we compete in, are with the same international vendor. So it's not something new for us, right? When we compete in a private operator like Vodafone India or in Airtel or Tata Communications, they're always up against international vendors, and we always have uniqueness and differentiators in our products which help us win whenever we do, kind of a thing, right? So it's the same over here. There are we won a business for routers against global competition, that all the names that you know of, right? And it's a similar situation over here. And so it's just because international competition is there, it doesn't mean it our chances are any less. You know, we do that on a regular basis, not only internationally, but also in India, because all those global vendors operate in India. So it's a part of it. It doesn't increase or decrease our chances of success in any meaningful way, because that's what we do every day.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deepak Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. As a retail investor, just my concern is as Tejas is not covered by any research analyst. So from the retail investor point of view, we are looking for some numbers or at least a broader idea about the sector opportunities, but without numbers, very hard to judge where we are and will be in next 2-3 years. And after all, from stock price to salary or capex or revenue, everything is numbers. I'm not saying you give me the numbers of quarter on quarter or even the year, but can you please give a hint, what are the exact opportunity size for the sector? In India, for BharatNet, Kavach, and Vodafone, so and so, and what are the opportunity sizes for the globally you are looking for at 526?
Yeah, so as as I mentioned, we cannot discuss specific numbers and for specific customer opportunities. For the large government tenders, as I said, they range from several hundred crores to several thousand crores. So those are fairly large deal. I mean, may not be as big as one BSNL 4G deal, but significant nonetheless. So those are some of the significant projects based on which we to form the base for our FY26. But at the same time, our a lot of our investment and initiative is towards the private operators, both in India as well as internationally. And each of those opportunities, I would say, the smaller customer opportunities are in terms of, I would say they would be in terms of several million dollars, would go up to $5 to $10 million. And the larger opportunities could go up to, $50-$60 million kind of a thing also, right? Or, sometimes maybe bigger than that kind of a thing. But it would be spread around a lot of customers, a lot of different operators in different parts of the world as well as in India. So that is the kind of spread of large deals as well as the smaller deals, kind of a thing. And the combination of those would work towards making our FY26 numbers.
Okay. Now, sir, can you put some highlights or any idea about what is the correlation with the capex of telecom companies and your revenue, not your even the sectoral revenue?
Well, yeah, I think their capex spend has a direct relation to us. Of course, a lot of the capex spend goes into the infrastructure of fiber or towers and power and all those kind of things. But roughly 10-15% of their overall capex budget goes into active equipment, the kind of stuff that we sell. So when you look at their capex spend numbers and projections, I mean, that's kind of factor that you can use to that this kind of spend that will happen in the active equipment space.
Okay. Now, sir, one more question. Sir, what is the CapEx growth rate you are expecting from the domestic and international market from the telecom companies in the next one or two or at least 3 years?
As I mentioned, I think the overall industry reports show a growth, projected growth in all the product segments that we have, right from 3 to 4% going up to 7, 8%. And our addressable market is, fairly large over here. Each of those segments of service provider, the wireline is, multiples of tens of billions of dollars. And same with wireline also, it's upwards of $30-40 billion globally. So in each of this wireless space, it's a pretty large addressable market and growing at a fairly good clip. So from that point of view, I think we are very bullish and encouraged about our prospects going forward, not only in FY26, but also beyond that.
Okay, sir. Just a sub-part of this question, this last question. So BSNL, you have completed the 1 lakh sites of BSNL. So if suppose you are a BSNL, if you are competing with a Bharti Airtel, Vodafone, or even Jio, then at least how many towers how many 4G expensive towers required by the BSNL to compete with at least these companies?
So, roughly, from what I know, the BSNL has 100,000 towers, but many of the operators have upwards of 200,000 towers. Many of the private operators have. So we do look forward to a lot of the expansion of BSNL network for them to be able to compete with those private operators, and that is a significant opportunity for us, both in terms of expanding the 4G network as well as upgrades to 5G, which was part of the tender that came out, right? I mean, there's a significant amount of 5G upgrades as well. So a lot of work going on in that area, a lot of trials and testing and POCs going on, and hopefully we should see some good business coming out of that, out of that incumbency that we have in the network.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Hiren Kumar Desai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question was regarding employee benefit expenses. For last 3-4 quarters, it's around 100 to 110 crores. I'm assuming that this is all fixed cost. So what kind of revenue and EBITDA is required to have break-in on a quarterly basis?
Yeah, so employee cost is predominantly fixed in nature. I think as we progressed over quarters, there has been an increase in the revenue in the employee cost, mainly coming out of investments that we need to do in R&D, in sales and marketing and other functions. A part of our employee cost is also capitalized based on the R&D projects that we are working on. So I think from the perspective of quarterly revenue and the revenue required to break even, I think a large part of this cost, our general cost structure other than the material cost, is fixed in nature. Right. So depending on the, not giving the exact number, but depending on the margins that you assume, which is basically between 20 to 30% range, that could give you the implied revenue required to be recovering the fixed cost that we have.
Okay. That answers my question.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up, sir. Sumit, sir, can you help me with one more data point? For this particular year, What was the ESOP cost that we recorded in our P&L? Last year, I think we were at 107 odd crores. What would be that number for this year?
Vimal, it will be roughly around 80 crores. We can give 80. Exact numbers later.
No problem. But this run rate is expected to be at this level or will reduce?
Look, I think it's a function of how we over time choose to reward employees. I think over the last couple of years, also because of RSUs that were part of that transaction and otherwise, I think the expense may have been a bit higher. But I think it would generally continue to be broadly at similar levels as well.
Fair. And sir, this NEC capital outlay...
Finish. Why don't you finish?
So, sir, my question was on the NEC initiative. The capital outlay has been recorded in our balance sheet already, and which line item can we see that in?
No, it is not yet recorded. I think as we go along, as the project delivery milestones get completed, you would see that progressively over the coming year. It'll show up in intangible assets under development to begin with.
Fair enough.
Only a small, portion has been recognized in the books.
Right. Sir, I interrupted you in between. You may complete your response.
It's time for one last question, please.
Yeah. No, I'm done. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we close the call?
As you see, sir. If you want to take another question, I will take another. If you want to close,
okay. We'll take one more.
Okay. The next question is from the line of Manoj Shah from LexGov Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to check on this BSNL 4G upgrade order. Does that involve any contract for the maintenance part also, or it was just the one-time upgradation?
No, I think the BSNL contract includes maintenance. There's over a period of 7 years after the network is commissioned. So in general, any business anywhere we supply and deploy our equipment always comes with multi-year maintenance, and sometimes they get renewed year over year, but in this particular case it's over multiple years, I think 7 years of maintenance which comes along with the contract.
And what would be the run rate per year for the maintenance?
There is no specific number that we can share for this.
Okay, and regarding this BSNL 5G, there is a news item which says that government wants to upgrade it to 5G. So your company will get a first priority of some part of the order will be reserved for you. For that, can you a little bit elaborate on that, or it will be on a competitive bidding basis? 5G.
So it's a combination. I think lot of the 5G upgrade, whichever is going to happen in the same existing bands in which 4G is deployed, that will come through the upgrade of our equipment, and that's where our equipment is designed for that, and even the original tender which we executed has scope for this 5G upgrade in those bands. So those upgrades will come through our equipment, but there will be newer bands, some of the performance bands, the 3.5 GHz and so on. So there we expect to be new tenders which come out. So 5G upgrade is going to be a combination of these.
What could be the size of this 5G order that you expect to get from this BSNL order?
Again, no specific numbers, and it all depends on the number of sites they upgrade and all this kind of thing. But, it could be, obviously it will not be as large as a fresh 100,000 site deployment, but based on the number of sites they upgrade, it will be, I think the cost will be kind of a fraction of the total, the base cost which is there, because this will be 5G upgrades, but and it depends on the number of sites that gets upgraded, that will determine our revenue, but again, it's definitely significant in terms of several hundred crores for sure, right?
So okay. It will be like for the 1 lakh sites what you have upgraded from to 4G, so those will get upgraded to 5G, those 100,000 sites?
No. I don't think that all of those sites will get upgraded to 5G.
It will be a fraction of that.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
8:30. So I want to thank everyone for participating.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.